Truly, this virus is something, but we don't need to fear. We can pray. Amen?
Amen.
So, and, but there's precautions that we want to take. So if anyone is cold, flu, allergies, or any of the above, feel free to stay home. I mean, you know, we're not going to go anywhere. The church will be here. The doors will be open. But just as a precautionary measure, you have that options. It's not a mandate that we are here every service if you're not feeling well. But if you are not feeling well, reach out over the phone and we'll pray. Amen? Amen. And, you know, it's interesting because through prayer and fasting is ringing true to me. Somebody else mentioned it today at Food Bank. So that's going to be on an agenda for us as a house to start prayer and fasting and put that into practice, which will be good. But John Selfers is going to share tonight. I'm going to share after John Selfers because he has an awesome message tonight. But we are going to pray. Father, we do thank you for tonight, Lord. We thank you that, God, with you all things are possible. Thank you for drawing us here tonight, Lord. As you said, Lord, the enemy has been defeated. And we declare that in Jesus' name. And Lord, we surrender to you. We invite you here tonight. Invite you into our minds, our bodies, our soul, our heart, every part of us, God. We surrender to you tonight. So be with us tonight, Lord. Thank you for watching over us today. Wonderful food bank and an opportunity to serve people with love and compassion. And God, let tonight be a encouraging night for us as well. So in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Lord, more of you, Lord. Fill us tonight, God. This is your night, Lord. More of you and less of us. More of you and less of us. God, we invite your spirit here. Free our minds, Lord, not to be consumed with the things of the world, but to set our thoughts on the things above. God, minister to us tonight in a mighty and powerful way. And everybody say, amen. Amen. Thank you, Galia and Cindy. Awesome worship. Amen. We are blessed, you know that? We are blessed with our worship teams that we have and all the people that serve in that capacity, as well as all the ministries that Freedom River does. Amen. And outside these buildings, there's many other ministries that participate in kingdom building. And kingdom building is what we do. Amen. It's not this church, that church, but we're in the kingdom business. And so I'm not going to take any more time. Please welcome Mr. John Selfers.
Thank you, thank you. Okay, let's get started, huh? Let's see, how does this thing work? Uh-huh, hold on, we're getting there. Here we go. Okay. No. There we go. Yeah. So here we go. All right. Thank you. We want to talk tonight about Romans chapter 15, the end of the chapter there. But we also want to talk about God, the God of grace, and what He gives. He gives peace. He gives peace to us. We're His children. So let's get into it. Here, the first thing we want to talk about is The first part is Romans 14 through 22. Paul reminds the Romans of his past ministry. And then Paul's plans to visit Rome. And then we're going to talk a little bit about God's grace and how it gives peace. So let's just read. What we're going to do is read a little bit out of the Passion Translation. So, dear brothers and sisters, I am fully convinced of your genuine spirituality. I know that each of you is stuffed full of God's goodness, that you are richly supplied with all kinds of knowledge and revelation, and that you are empowered to effectively instruct one another. And because of the outpouring of God's grace in my life, to be his minister and to preach Jesus, the Anointed One, to the non-Jewish people, I have written rather boldly to you on some themes, reminding you of their importance. For this grace has made me a servant of the gospel of God, constantly doing the work of a priest, for I endeavor to present an acceptable offering to God so that the non-Jewish people of the earth may be set apart and made holy by the Spirit of holiness. Now then, it is through my union with Jesus Christ. I love this. My union with Jesus Christ. Isn't that beautiful? That I enjoy an enthusiasm and confidence in my ministry for God. And I will not be presumptuous to speak of anything except what God has accomplished through me. For many non-Jewish people are coming into faith obedience by the power of the Spirit of God, which is displayed through mighty signs and amazing wonders, both in word and deed. Starting from Jerusalem, I went from place to place, as far as the distant Roman province of Illyricum, fully preaching the wonderful message of Christ. That is my honor and constant passion, to be a pioneer who preaches where no one else has ever heard of the Anointed One, instead of building upon somebody else's foundation. As the scripture says, those who know nothing about him will clearly see him, and those who have not heard him will respond. My pursuit of this mission has prevented me many times from visiting you. But there is now nothing left ahead to keep me in this region. So many years I have longed to come and be with you. So on my way to Spain, I hope to visit you as I pass through Rome. And after I have enjoyed fellowship with you for a while, I hope that you would help me financially on my journey. But now I'm on my way to Jerusalem to encourage God's people and to minister to them. I am pleased to inform you that the believers of Macedonia and Greece have made a generous contribution for the poor among the holy believers in Jerusalem. They were thrilled to have an opportunity to give back to the believers in Jerusalem. For indeed, they are deeply grateful for them and feel indebted because they brought them the gospel. And since the ethnic multitudes have shared in the spiritual wealth of the Jewish people, it is only right that the non-Jewish people share their material wealth with them. Well, that's key, isn't it? That's a good verse right there. So then, when I have completed this act of worship and safely delivered the offering of them to Jerusalem, I will set out for Spain and visit you on my way there. And I'm convinced that when I come to you, I will come packed, full, and loaded with the blessings of the Anointed One. And that's why I plead with you, because of your union with our Lord Jesus Christ, to be partners with me in your prayers to God. My dear brothers and sisters in the faith, with the love we share in the Holy Spirit, fight alongside me in prayer. Ask the Father to deliver me from the danger I face from the unbelievers in Judea. For I want to make sure that the contribution I carried for Jerusalem will be favorably received by God's holy ones. Then he will send me to you with great joy in the pleasure of God's will, and I will be spiritually refreshed by your fellowship. And now, may the God who gives us his peace and wholeness be with you all. Yes, Lord, so let it be. Amen. Need a break after that, huh? So, here we are. We want to look at Romans chapter 15, these verses. Paul is reminding him of his past ministry. How Paul used to work there with them. But he says, this is all about God's grace. He is the one who starts things. He is the one who initiates. He's the one that begins the ball rolling. He pushes. Oh, we don't have to do a thing. That's God's grace for us. Isn't that a great thing? Amen. And the next thing I want to show is God's grace is demonstrated in our lives. It can be seen and judged by others. Other people can see God's grace in our lives. They'll be able to notice it. They'll be able to say, wow, something's different about you. And God's grace is yours. You have to claim that. You can claim that tonight, right now. So let's take a look at that. Forgive my box, it's a little wonky. Verse 15 says, and because of the outpouring of God's grace, this is where my box should be, on my life to be his minister and to preach the anointed one to the non-Jewish people. So this is God's grace right here. How is it demonstrated in Paul's life? Paul, my life, how? To be a minister and to preach Jesus. So Paul is going back in time to the very beginning when the Lord spoke to him about on his way to Damascus. And so this is what we got to. This is how God's grace is demonstrated in his life. This is his testimony. Your testimony is powerful. And God's grace to you is your testimony. You have a lot to say. Your testimony is exactly that. Yours. It's not mine. You know, God's grace has been spoken to you into your life, and so you need to be able to say and speak what God has done for you. Let's look at another verse. My box is wonky. For this grace, right there, it's supposed to be right there, has made me a what?
Servant.
A servant. I love Pastor John's box of all of Romans, because he talks about our sin, he talks about growing, he talks about growing in our Savior and Lord. I looked for that slide and I couldn't find it, but anyway, the last one is about serving, being a servant. I mean, that's what life is about. That's what we're called to. We're all called to serve. And here Paul is saying, this grace has made me a servant. Amen. So that's God's grace for you. You can choose to be a servant, or you can choose to let it ride, let it go. But we have some great servants here in this room. We are grateful to that. Grateful to the Lord for his provision, for providing us with great servants. And let's take a look at another one. He says, And I will not be presumptuous to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me. For my non-Jewish people are coming into faith obedience by the power of the Spirit of God, which is displayed through mighty signs and amazing wonders, both in word and deed. That can be yours if you would accept God's grace in your life. This is Paul. He's saying, I'm not going to be speaking about, you know, anything except what Christ has done, what Jesus has done in me. And so this is Paul's testimony. Paul's testimony is about mighty signs, mighty wonders, both in word and deed, that the Spirit of God did in his life. So this grace is for you. You can do these mighty wonders. You can do these amazing signs. I'm telling you, this is the day. If no other day, we've got to be able to get a hold of this. So let's keep moving. The next thing I want to talk about is Paul's plan to visit Rome. Paul ties in worship with his plans to visit Rome. It's kind of interesting. Let's take a look at it. He says he is asking them to what? To give. Look at verse 24. So on my way to Spain, I hope to visit you as I pass through Rome. And after I've enjoyed fellowship with you for a while, I hope that you will help me financially on my journey. This guy is bold, isn't he? He's got courage. Yes. But our giving is worship to the Lord. And he's asking them to give, to be a part of that whole plan of going to Spain. Never been to Spain, never been to Rome, but it'll be interesting to talk with Paul about how far he got, huh? When we get to heaven, it'll be great. So it's an act of worship every time we consider the poor and we serve others. That's an act of worship. Let's take a look at what he says here. So when I have completed this act of worship and safely delivered the offering to them in Jerusalem, I will set out for Spain and visit you on my way. This whole thing about Jerusalem, they were poor. There was a famine in that whole land. I don't think it was the coronavirus, but they were hurting. And so here he says, after I have completed this act of worship and safely delivered the offering of them to Jerusalem. So he's talking about God and how he's worshiping God as a result of this opportunity to give. So what I'm saying here is that this act here of worship is when we consider the poor and when we serve others. And many of us, that's what we do. That's what we did today anyway. We considered the poor and we served others. And all of that is an act of worship to our King. That's a beautiful thing. So God's grace, it gives us peace. Let's take a look at that. So what is peace? Any ideas? Yes.
The Hebrew words for it say it's breaking the chaos off your life.
Amen. Breaking the chaos off your life. That's powerful. Yes. I like that. How does that demonstrate? How does that show itself in our lives? I'm sorry?
We're not afraid.
Amen. I love that. Yes, a confidence, a trust in God, a sound mind. It's beautiful. I loved what we were doing this morning around prayer. We were laughing. That's what peace is. It's laughter. It's resting. It's that confidence, knowing that we don't have anything to worry about. Everybody else in this world does, with the coronavirus and no basketball anymore, no XFL. I don't know what's going to happen. You know what I mean? It's like, but no, we can laugh at that. We can say, it's okay. It's all right. Everything's going to work out just fine. But what does Paul say? And now, may the God who gives us peace.
His peace.
His peace. Amen. His peace and wholeness. That's beautiful. Be with you all. Yes, Lord. So let it be. So this is Paul's prayer. This is Paul's prayer for you and for me, that we would receive God's peace. He says in Philippians that we would, how does that verse go? Dadgum.
It was on.
No, I was thinking about the one that says, the peace that passes all understanding.
Guard your heart and mind.
Yes. That's Paul's prayer for you and for me. Okay? So, my friend Dennis is going to come up and share now.
I unmuted it. You want to turn that down a little bit? Maybe it's me here. Oops, just a second. Hello. All right, I'm going to use this one. Sound a little better? Praise God. Thank you, John, for sharing that. Amen. Grace of God, powerful, powerful thing if we receive it, if we receive it, and if we walk in it, and if we use it. Amen. So we're both speaking on the same section of Scripture, and this is what's so interesting and so exciting about Scripture is the fact that John will read the same scripture as I will read, but we may get two separate or different messages. But the core of the message is that God is the one. God is the way. God is the reason. God is the power. God has the glory. God is the foundation. Amen. Jesus Christ is our foundation. And I'm going to see. So I just kind of picked a little topic here out of Romans chapter 15, verse 17. It says, so I have a reason to be enthusiastic about all Christ Jesus has done through me in my service to God. I like to be enthusiastic. I'm a pretty happy guy. But the reason I'm a happy guy and can be enthusiastic is because Jesus saved me. And in this journey that Paul's writing about, I saw in chapter, there's two sections of this book of Romans. In the first section up to chapter 12, it talks about many things that God has done for us. And as it takes a shift in chapter 12, now it's about us doing things for God. I sound like I'm coming from heaven. No, it's just sounds kind of funny. We can laugh a little bit, can't we, tonight? Okay, it's going to be quick, so. But a short-lived moment of joy, still carrying over from the prayer time this morning. Praise God. Okay, so here in Romans 12, it says, His grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you're a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. We operate in that. We operate in that. Freedom River, each and every one of you operates in this. Your gifting that the Lord has gifted you, we are learning and growing each and every day. But it's not God doing it for us. We are doing it to magnify God through us. God has given us a gift and He's using it through us, and we get to point back to God. Amen? So it speaks volumes of working, co-creating with God, working for God, not having Him do everything for us, but now it's time for us to give a little back. Amen? And our works isn't works. It is a function. It is a function that is driven by love. Love for people and love for the Lord. Amen? I got this picture because it's a person helping a person helping a person. A get up to where they are. And then if this person on the bottom right here gets that connection, and then he's able to pull up and go ahead higher than the first one. As we talk about often through when we serve and when we love, we want people to go higher, further, faster, stronger, better. Amen? Than we ourselves.
Amen.
And this is what Christ also came to do. He came to serve. And in this section of Scripture, we hear about serving, about working for God. So this is verse 18. It says, "Yet I dare not boast about anything except what Christ has done through me, bringing the Gentiles to God by a message and by the way I worked among them." Now, when Paul first was called to be that special apostle, and speak to the Gentiles, preach to the Gentiles, you would think normally, a normal person would think that he would run directly into Rome because that was the capital of the Gentiles. You would go right into the midst of them and preach and share. But the church had already been established there. And so Paul went to other places, as John pointed out, not building on another man's foundations, but truly going where no man has heard the message. And this was Paul's, I would say, main duty at this time, was to share the gospel where it hadn't been shared before, so that those who didn't see will see, those who didn't know will know. Amen? And we get that same opportunity to walk in that same kind of a calling. There's people who come through those doors that haven't heard about Jesus Christ. And we get to share that truth, share that gospel, share that hope, share that faith, share our testimony of where Jesus had saved us and the road that He has put us on and the things that He has given us to do. See, it's not just God can do all things. But He also has things for us to do. Amen? As Paul did here, God gave him a message to go and preach. You have a message. You have a task that the Lord is asking you to do. And you are the only you that can do that. Your testimony is the only testimony that you have. And your testimony of Christ working in your life I'm going to say this, okay? Everybody okay? Can I say this? That your testimony that Jesus Christ gave you will set a captive free.
It's enough.
Amen? That's pretty encouraging. That's something to be enthusiastic about. Woo. That should be something we want to share. See, it's not a have to. God puts it inside us, encourages us enough that we want to share what God has done.
Amen.
Because we have experienced a life and a life like one we never had before. Praise the Lord. I took this picture because it talks about Christ, it says up here, except what Christ has done through me. As we look at this window, the light is able to shine through the window. If it was a solid wall, the light would not shine into that room. So as I looked at this picture, it reminded me, as us, if we do not allow the Lord to manifest inside us and ask God to give us a voice and ask God to work through us. Less of me, more of you, Lord. Am I allowing him? Are we allowing him to shine through Freedom River to those who don't see yet, who may be in a dark room, who may be bound up in rejection or addiction or hopelessness or just not knowing God? We get to be like that window and let the Lord shine through us and bring a light to a dark place. Even when there's chaos in our cities about a sickness, about a virus. Amen? Okay, I'll explain the picture in a minute. The authorities, this is in chapter 13, it's talking about the authorities and the government as this journey goes. The authorities are God's servants sent for good, for your good. But if you are doing wrong, of course you should be afraid, for they have the power to punish you. They are God's servants sent for the very purpose of punishing those who do what is wrong. I was once in London. I was stationed there, just north of it. And that is exactly what the cops look like in London. That's not what they look like in Puyallup. I know exactly what they look like in Puyallup and Tacoma and Shelton and Monroe. But I found this very touching because now I have an understanding. I have an understanding that the authority that is placed from our president down to the lowest of low investigator, head of whatever, anybody who is above me deserves my prayers,
amen.
Deserves my support, even if you disagree. Because if you're disagreeing, if you're not supporting, who put them there? God put them there. And if you're not supporting who God put there, what are you supporting?
Yeah.
Something to think about, isn't it? Gives you a whole new outlook on law enforcement. Because God's put those people in that position. So as we, this is my last slide for the day, and the message that I truly wanted us to try to get a little bit of wrap around is that it's time. This is the time to start doing for God. We always come and we, Lord, will you? Lord, will you? Lord, will you? It's time to make the shift. God, how can I serve you better? God, how can I love a brother better? so that it's a pleasing thing to you, so that it brings a smile to your face. Lord, how can I serve my community better? God, what is it that I need, I want to do? Make it a I want to do for you, not you do for me all the time. Lord, if you only get me out of this, I'll change. Lord, if you only give me that, I'll never ask again. And Lord, if you only meet my needs here, or Lord, I need that. But it's time to make that shift. Shift of how can we serve you better, Lord. I like the light in a dark room and the light in a light room. Are we going to allow that to take place in our life and through our actions? Because it's not just in words, it's in actions. If there were blinds that were pulled over those windows and the shutters were shut, the light would never make it through there. If I don't pull the blinds off of me, how are other people going to see the Jesus in me? If my life doesn't reflect the power of God, how are people going to see Christ in me? How are they going to see hope? How are they going to see a change by a mighty and powerful God in our life? It's a living testimony that you've been given. We are living, and it's through our life that will reflect God and magnify God. And we can have that. As we read, we have been given gifts to share for the body and for the people outside the doors. Amen? Is that okay? Can we start doing things for God? Not to be acknowledged ourselves, but to point to Jesus. Huh? It's for God. Why do you do what you do? It's for God. He loved us to the point that he went to the cross, and the journey to the cross was something else. If you ever have a moment to sit and meditate on that, how much he loved you. Well, it's time for us to really let the heat get turned up, let our hearts open wide, and let our minds be renewed to the place where we can cry back, Lord, I hope this love that I have for you reaches you where you are. That I want to love you to the point where you feel it, God, because I feel the love you have for me. Now we get to exchange. Amen? Amen? Everybody okay with that? And that's what we have for tonight. So can we stand up? We'll pray for tonight. So, Lord, we thank you, God, that we get to receive your grace, that we have the opportunity to serve as you serve, Lord, to love the way you love, God. And, Father, we want to put a smile on your face tonight through loving unconditionally all of our brothers and sisters. And, Father, we do ask for strength. How can I strengthen myself, Lord? How can I strengthen my relationship? How can I surrender? But today we choose to surrender, God. We release control of this vessel to you. So guide us, Lord. Lead us. You've given us all the things we need. So we thank you for that. And God, may we use them accordingly. May we use them freely. May we pour out more today than we've ever poured out before, God. Let this be a new beginning. Let the time The time has come that we need to make this shift, Lord. We thank you for the opportunity to step into this new place, Lord. We ask your protection over our health. We ask you for your protection over our families and the people who are out there that are being stricken by this, Lord. We just bind this sickness up in Jesus' name and cast it out. Lord, we release heavenly health over your people. There is no sickness in heaven, Lord. There is no virus in heaven, Lord. There are no tears in heaven, Lord. So we ask you to open up the heavens over us, God, over your people, over this country, over this universe. Open the heavens, Lord. Bless our night and bless us in everything we do so that we can send it back to you as a blessing for you, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for coming, everyone. Remember, God gives us wisdom. Wash your hands. Give the elbow bump or the foot kick as a handshake and all the above. But be blessed.